At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Moe. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Moe. The podcast that you know.
Draft week is here. Free agency looming. Rumors are flying left and right. We've been waiting to hear some stuff about the Sacramento Kings because they've got the 13th pick. Well, Anthony Slater, Sam Amick dropped a piece today looking at the Kings offseason and how they're approaching the NBA draft. The tweet caught my attention.
Yeah.
Because Slater tweets, the Kings are a team to watch this week. They've made the 13th pick available. Pause.
Oh,
okay, I mean, cool, they're shopping. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I could see them drafting someone. Next sentence. It was in an offer for Alex Caruso last week before Chicago opted for Josh Giddey. Here's a deeper look at an aggressive moment in Sacramento with Sam Amick.
Yes, just like that.
Well, let's dive in. And we'll just kind of go chunk by chunk with this because they did cover a lot of ground in this. So, as it was mentioned in the tweet, the Kings apparently were shopping the number 13th pick to Chicago to try to land Alex Caruso. The Bulls, to the surprise of many within the league, instead opted to send Caruso to OKC for Josh Giddey. First off, what do you think about this dynamic that the Kings were trying to use 13 to get Caruso?
Don't you love it? Don't you just love that they were being active? What?
One, yes, I love. You should be active.
Yeah.
I think big picture, this is what I think everyone wanted to see last offseason at the deadline. You wanted to see a little more activity.
Yes.
Now, we can only go by what we know.
Sure.
Like, this was put out there, so we know. We don't know about the conversations, all these conversations.
I was going to say, and all the other teams also being active.
Sure.
But it's, you just love it when you hear with the Kings.
My thing, I love Alex Caruso as a player.
Yes.
We talked about him the other day, an all-defensive guy. He's just, he makes teams better. He can defend multiple positions.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. He can hit the three. I do find it interesting that they were willing to trade the 13th pick for him because he is an expiring deal and that you would have had to look to give him a contract extension. Now, what I'm curious about, and we don't know the answers to this in this article, is just like the timing. Did they feel like they were maybe losing Malik Monk? And
correct,
was this kind of the backup plan?
I mean, that you have to have insurance, and that was going to be your insurance, even if
much
it was
players.
An expiring. Yes, much, much different, Deuce, but like the same type of energy, dog energy that you need from somebody on your roster. And if you were losing that Malik Monk, you were going to need someone else to fill that void.
Unless they're trying to do both.
But let's even say that they were like, okay, great, then we have both. I mean, then you're in a situation. I mean, you say that, but what's I wouldn't mind more players that are good.
I know, but the problem is you have Fox, you got
but
Keon
then you figure
Ellis,
it out. You figure it out. You do what you need to do, and maybe you package, there was something else within the package for, and the 13th pick for Alex Caruso. Obviously, that was going to be Not obviously, but you know, that could have been something that was going to happen there. And so I think you look at that situation as, yes, it was going to be insurance that if Malik Monk was going to be gone, and then as soon as that happened, then the Malik Monk stuff happened, what, like a night
hours
later?
No, oh, it was hours later. It was the same day. That's what I'm saying. Whoa. Like, just how this all worked out is we heard about the Caruso trade to OKC, yeah, and then hours later, the Monk thing gets done.
Yep.
So, I don't know. So many layers to these talks.
So many layers.
I find very fascinating. But big picture-wise, whether you think they should have gone after Caruso or not, of course I think Caruso would help the Kings. I was just more talking about, all right, do you trade a 13th pick for a guy who's on expiring? Are you going to extend him? He's 30.
It doesn't matter. What does that tell you right now? That they're trying to put, and we talked about this, you have to put the right people around Domas and De'Aaron while they're in their prime. That is what they were trying to do, is put people that they know that they could depend on for next year. You know, you don't know what you could depend on. I mean, obviously you have high hopes when you're scouting and then drafting with that 13th pick.
But it's a rookie.
But it's a rookie, yeah, at the end of the day. And you just never know how their game is going to translate, especially in that first year, even if all the people online are saying that they're NBA ready. You still don't know.
So the piece goes on after the Caruso element, saying that there's more of an internal appetite to add veteran help to a win-now situation as opposed to a rookie. That's why the 13th pick remains very available in trade talks heading into the draft, according to league sources, along with the necessary cap filler and even extra picks for the right player.
Yeah, so I guess you like to see that? I mean, because look, that just means that they're looking at all options with that 13th pick. And I have no issue. I feel like there's almost been every single draft where we do the work that we can do on knowing what we can know about these players, scouting them, watching their games, blah, 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 whatever. But like, at the end of the day, nobody really knows. Like, where'd Giannis go? Where'd all these other, I mean, name the player, Jokic, just name them all, right? You never really know where you're going or what's going to happen. Like, I think sometimes there's some players in the top five that you are going to have that 100%, you are positive something good's going to come out of it. But then there could be the player that could change this franchise forever with the 13th pick that the Kings are going to shop. Well, like, you just don't know.
It's that element of like, hey, if there's a player out there that you love and you think, hey, we got to take this guy and take a swing, I understand that element, especially with where the cap is, you know, with all the new rules with the collective bargaining agreement, to get a guy in a rookie contract makes sense. But what you just said a minute ago, you have to maximize
that.
If you believe it's Fox and Sabonis, yep, Keegan and Monk, you have to maximize this window.
Screw the cap, screw the money, screw it all. Like, figure it out. And that, I mean, that has to be the mindset. How many times do we say, scared money don't make no money? And we say, you know, you got to be willing to be a little bit riskier. And there's so many times you do want to protect your future. But at the same time, how many times can you not take risks and still have your job too?
This is discussed a little bit in the article. Let's go over some more of this. They get to the Malik Monk portion of this and saying how getting that out of the way, Mike Brown's contract out of the way, that was good for Sacramento. But how about this line? Monk, the runner-up for Sixth Man of the Year, has expressed a desire to start long-term, but signed back with the Kings without any assurances on his exact role next season, according to league sources.
Yeah, I mean, you like that. You like to hear it, right?
Did it surprise you, though?
No, because I think Malik Monk playing his best basketball brought him happiness. Winning basketball is obviously going to bring a team and organization happiness. And he played some of his best basketball in this role. So there's got to be a part of him that's trusting the process and the system in his role. But at the same time, hell yeah, he should believe that he should be a starter and should still strive for that in every way, shape possible.
He's great coming off the bench too. Like, to me, it's just he needs to play big time minutes. Yes. But who knows what the Kings roster is going to look like. Could change dramatically in the next couple of weeks. So the Kings' vision, according to The Athletic, and they write, in its most optimistic state, is to maximize what they believe is a 3 to 6 year winning window around Fox, Sabonis, Monk, and Murray by landing an early to mid-prime player who can grow with the core. I love the optimistic viewpoint there.
Yeah.
When I read that, I feel like a lot of it's hinging on Keegan. A lot of it is hinging on Keegan Murray being like an all-star level player.
I mean, hasn't it been since everyone saw what he was capable of, though? And then I get when I say what he was capable of, I'm talking about his rookie year, just his offensive abilities, right? But then we saw the leap taken his second year on the defensive end while still trying to figure out and navigate how he can provide on the offensive end. Year three, yeah, a lot is going to be put on him. But at the same time, I would sit here today with that confidence in him because of what he's shown in his first 2 years.
But that's kind of my point is, like, for the Kings to reach the heights that they believe,
yeah. Yeah.
It's Fox and Sabonis have to be really, 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 really good. Yep. Like, Sabonis, All-NBA, Fox pushing All-NBA, but Keegan's jump has to be in the next couple of years pretty dramatic.
I mean, that's the type of guys that this organization's always trying to draft, to acquire, are the people that they know that they can see internal development from. And that is so very important because being able to have that continuity also with the team, I believe, leads to so much success. You know, you're seeing that the teams that got the furthest were playing such great team basketball at the end. It wasn't just a star, even though when a star wasn't playing well, whether it was Luka, Kyrie, or Jason Tatum in another series or whatever it was, you saw this how significant it was when a star wasn't playing up to par. But at the same time, you also get to see how valuable team basketball is. And so when you grow internally, you can grow your team altogether.
The other thing that was talked about was De'Aaron Fox's future. They write, Fox's future looms in the background too, as Fox has decided not to sign an extension this year, in part because he wants to see how the roster takes shape for the long haul. Fox has two seasons left on his current deal, wants to win at the highest level, and could also qualify for a significant larger max if he makes All-NBA. Okay, and that one's been put out a lot on social media today with a lot of people. Oh, Fox wants out. This is the first step Fox wants out. Dude, it makes no sense whatever from a business standpoint for De'Aaron Fox to sign the deal now. Where if he gambles and goes, I make all NBA next year, I could sign a massive 5-year super max deal for a crazy, crazy amount of money. Now, the other side is he's gambling too. If you have an injury, that would suck. But he's made money. I understand that viewpoint. And to be honest, I understand the other point for him. That he's going into year 8 with the Sacramento Kings. Yep. I think having that mindset of like, you know, let's see how they build this thing before I commit long term too. Yeah. Because
why should
I've invested a lot of time here.
Why should I be aggressive with signing if they're not going to be aggressive with putting the right pieces around me? I have no, I mean, even just from the business, the money standpoint, like it's absolutely. Money,
but, and I do agree with the other part. It's like, yeah, let's see how this shakes out a little bit.
Yep.
I'll put a little pressure on the organization here to be aggressive and make moves. And now the pushback would be, hey, they have tried to be aggressive. We saw with the Alex Caruso deal. Then you saw in the Siakam deal that did not end up happening. The Athletic wrote about that too. The Kings have been close to deals in the past, but ultimately come up empty handed. Caruso is the latest. Siakam might be the most significant. The Kings were close to a deal at the past trade deadline, but they ultimately lost out to Indiana when the Pacers paired him with Halliburton and made that run to the Eastern Conference Finals. The move would have been a calculated risk for the Kings, as there were strong signs at the time that Siakam would not re-sign with Sacramento if he had come. Still, league sources say there is some lingering regret internally about what might have been move, and the question of whether the Kings could have convinced Siakam to stay long.
Yeah, and I'm glad those questions can loom. You know, like you want to make sure that you're asking yourselves, like, did we do the right thing? Were we not aggressive enough? Should we have just taken that risk anyway? And you and I have talked about this so many times, and I'm like, why do you take a risk on someone that doesn't want to be here, though? And I get it. Like, that's happened to so many players. I mean,
Go back to Chris Webber, Morgan. Chris Webber didn't want to come here. And ultimately, he signed a seven-year deal. And I think looking back at Siakam stuff, it's like, look, I understand you want guys to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at what the Pacers gave up to get him, and now they signed him to a long-term deal, you go, it wasn't like they risked and mortgaged their future. And ultimately, what it turned into is they got a guy to go with Haliburton long-term on a really... yes, it's an expensive deal, but we saw what Siakam's capable of.
But not only that, though, Deuce, you also look at the role that he is playing with the Pacers. I mean, it's 1A, 1B, 1A, or 1A, 2A, whatever the shit that you want to call it, in Indiana, where in Sacramento, I mean, who knows what the order would have been with De'Aaron Sabonis and Siakam, right? And I don't know how that was... how that conversation was, how that was portrayed to him, what he thought about that and being in possibly in that role. So yeah, like I understand all of those things and the Kings not just risking it all to sign someone who ultimately didn't want to be in a certain role.
Sure. But you could go back to this and this is, you talk about taking risks and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get someone in your building, they win a little bit, they feel the vibes. Yes. Maybe he clicks with Mike Brown, sees some success, feels the energy from the fans, and goes, dude, I kind of, you know what? I'll sign here and they can pay me.
That's where they're at now, though.
Yeah.
That's where they're at now. And that's why going back to even them trying to be aggressive, getting Alex Caruso with the 13th pick and whatever else they would have. That was really it.
That's all that came out.
Yes, exactly. So, like, we don't know if anything more was going to be with that 13th pick. But, like, at the same time, of course you want them in the conversations, but you want them to be able to get things done. And ultimately, the Alex Caruso thing didn't happen, but they got the Malik Monk deal done. And so that feels like a win in this situation. But now that this 13th pick is out there as... hey, we're willing to trade this for something that is already established in the NBA right now, that is NBA ready, that we can pair with this crew. Like, I'm glad that they're going in that direction, but I feel like they got to get it done.
Well, the name that keeps getting brought up, and I feel like we have heard this name for years and years, going back to draft day a few years ago, when it looked like the Kings were adding Kyle Kuzma in a trade for Buddy Hield. It looked like that was a done deal. Everything we've heard was that was a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell apart last second. And Kuzma ended up being involved in that Westbrook to LA trade.
Yes.
So then you fast forward. Kuzma's a free agent last year going, hey, could Sacramento get in the mix there? He ends up re-signing with the Washington Wizards. And now it seems like he's available.
Yeah.
He's been dangled out there. Well, according to The Athletic, McNair and the Kings have maintained a varying level of interest in trading for Kuzma, which has picked up to some degree this summer. Kuzma has an appealing contract. He's under control for the next three seasons at an affordable and declining rate. Goes $23.5 million, $21.4 million, $19.4 million, attached to a trade kicker that would add $3 million each season unless Kuzma waives it. But ultimately, a pretty team-friendly deal if you're able to acquire him.
Under contract, team-friendly. I love everything about that. And I love this situation even more, too, because Kyle Kuzma got what he wanted. He got to be, he got to play the role that he wanted with a really shitty team.
Yeah.
And, no, truly. And, like, he got to say, like, hey, if that's what you want, no problem. Go have fun. Kill it. Do what you need to do. But I think now that there's going to be interest in, I mean, depending on obviously what the organization, this isn't, you know, he doesn't get to choose, but now that the interest is in Kyle Kuzma, I mean, I don't see why the Kings couldn't figure out something to be aggressive in going after him. Like, why wouldn't they?
I think Kuzma's going to be more expensive than people realize too, because of the contract, right? Like, you see some of the other big money deals out there, like Levine's going to get mentioned a little bit. Uh-huh. Jeremy Grant. These guys are making a lot more money. This is a team-friendly deal. And I think Washington's like, look, we don't have a problem paying this. Like, we know the guy. We know what he's about.
Yep.
We're not just going to give him to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, the challenge comes. Like, what are you willing to pay for Kyle Kuzma? Because, you know, he's not a star player. He's a good player. I think he would be perfect here. And one, he adds size, like athleticism. He pushes the pace. He's a good playmaker. The shooting.
Deuce, we've talked about this so many times. Like, we know he'd be good here. It's how do you acquire him now? You know what I mean? It's not about like, oh, does this make sense? Like, of course it makes sense. But Washington on the other end could be like dangling him in front of everyone and be like, who's got the best? Who's got the best bet? Like, the Kings have the 13th pick plus maybe some assets that they might want. I said this to you, and I hate talking too much about like, oh, who should be traded and all these things. But something that we did talk about, because we go, wow, Kyle Kuzma and Harrison Barnes both on this team. Well, what if it was Harrison Barnes, and that is somebody who you see as a champion, a veteran that could be in that Washington locker room and maybe give them something that they need, especially if they had the 13th pick and what, the number two pick?
Yeah.
And so they have these young guys. Again, it's just, it's obviously, I'm just putting that out there.
The 13th pick for Kuzma is interesting. I mean, obviously with HB2. I think I've been watching so much of these draft guys. I've talked myself into so many of them. Like, hey, take a swing here. But yeah, you might have to be that aggressive. I'd almost rather move a pick years from now. That's protected. Rather, I'd almost, can you get Kuzma while keeping this?
I know what you would. You know what I mean? I know what you would rather do, but that's the thing. Be aggressive.
But also, from Washington's perspective, hear me out. Maybe like getting a 2028 pick is a little more appealing, because who the hell knows what Sacramento looks like then? Where this, you know what this draft is, where it seems like there's no superstars in it. Seems like a very solid draft. You can get a good player at 13. Maybe it's more appealing to get something down the road. I don't know.
Maybe. Either way, though.
And you're betting against the Kings.
Either way.
This team is lost forever.
If we are getting an athletic piece at the after the draft, that the Kings tried everything they could to get Kyle Kuzma, but they couldn't get it done. Like, that's just another one on the list, you know?
You're sick of the what if deals. That almost happened.
And I'm sure they're sick of it. They're sick of not getting certain things done. And they're also, I think for so long, I think they've been very smart about things where they're not just jeopardizing the future. And someone like Sam Presti has such a long leash where it's like, it felt like there could have been as many years as he wanted because he ultimately had a plan, and look how his plan came together. And I just don't think that is going to be that long leash. We know that long leash isn't here in this organization. You know, it's just not going to be. And so that's why you want to make sure everyone's being aggressive, and we're not just getting excited about talks of things, but we're also seeing things get done, seeing things get executed.
And that's a challenge when you start going bigger, when you start thinking of some of these bigger names.
Yeah.
Like Brandon Ingram, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, Brandon Ingram, you trade for him, you're going to have to give him a contract extension. Are you going to pay him $50 million a year? And how does that go against what you're go with De'Aaron Fox's deal and what you're paying Sabonis and what you could be paying Keegan? Then you're a second apron team. Like, are you a championship team?
But like, that's the thing. You're trying to risk everything, believing that what you are doing is building to that championship team, and you're willing to spend all that money. And I really do. I mean, how many times have I said this to you? Like, it takes two to tango. It's not like, oh, the Kings just aren't executing. They're just not getting things done. This front office is just not doing their job. It's other teams could have different relationships with different GMs, different, you know, different wants from different teams. And that is understandable. Like, at the end of the day, like, you can't force someone in a room and say, better give me what I want.
Sure. You got to get deals done too.
I get it.
That's the game. That's literally the game.
No, it is. I mean, it is. Like I try.
Sorry.
I humanize it a little bit because I go, I hate sales, and I hate forcing anyone to do anything. And so like, I would not be good at this job. I'm be like, okay. Like, you know, I guess we're good here. Like, can we just grow internally? That can't be their mindset. It has to be like a very fierce mindset going after some of these things and getting shit done. I get it.
We've heard some Zach LaVine rumors regarding the Kings. How serious is that whole situation? The Athletic kind of talked about that as well. Zach LaVine has been rumored, and league sources confirm Sacramento has some level of interest, but he would arrive with a tricky contract situation. LaVine has 3 years 137.8 left on his current deal. And that with the Fox thing coming up potentially, with Sabonis makes Keegan, all the stuff we just talked about. Okay. That can make you feel a little weird, especially based on LaVine's
health history.
Exactly. Any deal on this front, league sources say, would likely involve the Kings needing to be incentivized to take on LaVine's massive deal, aka we're not giving up picks. In fact, you probably have to give us picks and additional assets for us to even think about it.
Yeah.
And then the article ends like this: as pressure rises to advance further in the playoffs, everyone is getting more expensive. Sabonis' contract rises from 29.3 to 40 plus million for the next 4 years. Murray is a summer away from extension eligibility, and Fox, desiring an aggressive win now approach, eventually has a lucrative decision to make. The entire equation makes the Kings a team to watch entering transaction season in the NBA.
Hell yeah, it does. And again, I think this is the year. It's like, you know, you're putting a lot, or we're talking about putting a lot on Keegan Murray, his internal growth. But I also believe this is one of those years, finally, with this front office too. It's like a lot is going to be put on them to get something done. And you know what sucks, though, is that if the pressure is felt to like get something like, oh, well, then we need a name. Let's just get Zach LaVine. And then Zach LaVine doesn't turn out to be what is needed from him. Like just availability.
I'm not understanding that move. And especially now that you brought Monk back, I know you can need another guy that can go get a bucket, but I'm like, you like Keon Ellis, right? Like,
but so then you're talking about under the radar names that I feel like in the Western Conference, it's just not enough. You know what I mean? Like, you just
here's my pushback. They won 46 games last year with all the shortcomings we talked about. If Monk doesn't go down, we're having a little bit of a different conversation right now.
Well, they're probably beating the Pelicans. I don't know.
But maybe they avoid the play-in at that point.
I don't know.
Like, who knows what it looks like? I mean, they won 40. They're not, in my opinion, that far away from being a 50-plus win team. And
I don't think you're wrong.
The West, obviously, is just stacked. Like, it's the difference stacked between, like, 11 and 8 is, like, nothing. So, or 11 and 6. It's crazy what it's like in the West. My point is, like, if you upgrade with a Kuzma, I mean, that's an upgrade to me.
But so guess what? Like, we're all there with you. We're all there with you about Kuzma. But you have to understand, and I think you do understand, that other teams are going to have things to dangle in front of Washington's face to be like, pick me. I got something better for you for Kuzma.
I don't buy that there's going to be some crazy-ass bidding war for Kyle Kuzma.
But okay, that's fine if there's not even a bidding war. But like, I just look at even the situation with Alex Caruso, and let's just say the 13th pick, and they wanted Josh Giddey over the 13th pick. I don't blame them for going in that direction. I think for so many years when we talk about Sacramento in a lot of these situations, it's them not having like the powerful assets or, you know, pieces or whatever to really incentivize a team to want to pick them with that player. And that's why with Kyle Kuzma, I think there's more to him with a lot of teams in this league than we're, even if it's a few, well, even if it's a few.
Last deadline, it seemed like Dallas was really interested in him before they made all their moves.
And I guess my point is you look at a team like Dallas, for example, that at the trade deadline for Gafford, for PJ Washington. PJ Washington was on a lot of people's radars. They had to give up a lot for PJ Washington. But like, even Daniel Gafford, you look at some of these names, some of these guys, and you go, well, could the Kings get the same type of pieces and also make that leap? And I don't know that answer because Domas and De'Aaron aren't Kyrie and Luka, though. You know what I mean? And so that's why it is tough. That's why it's not just the under the radar names you need to go for. You need to make sure you are getting some of these pieces that have shown that they can be such a dominant force, even if it's on one end of the floor. Zach LaVine, like, let's be real. Like, it's who knows what he can even do defensively. I don't even know how many games he played last year to really assess what he was doing. Right. So like, again, I just get nervous when you get to the point where it's like slim pickings of good basketball players, but not good enough to get you to the level that you need to get to. Yeah. And we can talk about Keegan Murray taking another leap this year, but it's like, we know in the Western Conference that's not going to be enough. Like, good for him.
But it just depends on what type of leap, you know? Like, if Keegan Murray turned into, I don't know,
Kawhi Leonard.
I wasn't going to say that, but if he was scoring close to 20 a game and playing some good defense, legit score, like 3-point shooter.
And maybe he can. And maybe he will be doing that.
That moves the needle. I'm not even saying as a championship. And that's what I think sometimes gets lost in all this. Like, dude, of course everyone wants to win a championship. Yeah. Okay? Breaking news, one team can do it.
Only one.
I'm not ready to go into the whole, hey, let's blow this shit up and start tanking. Like, you know what? I want to get back to the playoffs. I want to win a playoff series. I'm trying to enjoy some of that.
No, so I'm with you on all of this. I'm just going off of the last couple of years of like what we've seen get done and what we've seen almost get done. And it's the almost that just makes me nervous. I just don't want to talk about the almost anymore. And I also don't want to talk about the guys that just like, hey, they make you a better basketball team, but like, it doesn't move the needle.
So as we record this a couple of days before the draft, do you want them to move the pick then?
I used to be so patient with everything. And I still feel like I definitely am, because I love, like, just to get nerd, like, I love basketball more than almost anything in the entire world. And I respect the game so much. And I think when the whole culture is to, like, fire this coach after 1 year and get rid of this player and this player wants out because, that's not how you develop a good basketball team, even when you are at the professional, the NBA level. Like, good basketball comes from people being able to have stability, to play together, to have fun out there and enjoy one another as a teammate, even if they don't even like each other as a person. Like, I'm sure a lot of people have been on those type of teams. So I'm just now at the point though, where I feel like the patience has been there, and I don't want to see De'Aaron be like, yo, you haven't done enough. I don't want to see someone, Domas, finally have an unhealthy year where he's not playing every single game and it screws with the entire system and the flow of what they're trying to do on the basketball floor. You got to make sure you have enough pieces out there. So if that does happen ever, that it's like next man up, you can still play.
It's going to be fascinating to see if the Kings can get something done. Make sure you stay locked in with us. We're going to be dropping podcasts with breaking news. And, of course, we'll be live for the NBA draft on both Wednesday and Thursday. Our coverage starts on our YouTube page at 4 p.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. Check out youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.